Let's take a look on page 100. The right column on the bottom. Bottom right. The Midrash Tanfuma, it says in the Midrash Tanfuma, Ki Moshe Rabbeinu, Allah V'Shalom, Ra'ah, Shelo Yihi Yad Mitzvah Bikurim Begalus. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that there would not be the Mitzvah of Bikurim, which is taking the first fruits and the first produce, in Golus, outside the land of Israel. That this Mitzvah of Bikurim, which is mentioned here in Parshas Kisavo, only applies in the land of Israel, not in exile. Therefore, Tiken Gimel Tefilos B'chol Yom. He established three tefilos, three prayers to say over the course of the day. Now, this has to be, of course, understood in its own context, because the more usual way of looking at the three tefilos is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So here it's saying the Moshe Rabbeinu instituted them, so it's a kind of a different twist on that.
But it's saying that he instituted them, you just said, because there won't be Bikurim outside of Eretz Yisrael. So did he institute it before the people went into Eretz Yisrael for them to do? You know,
that's what it seems like.
Yeah.
That's what
okay.
It seems like from the Midrash, yeah. Okay. The Pirish Mori Zekenizal, it's explained from his grandfather, the Rim. Ki mitzvah bikurim, this mitzvah bikurim, first fruits, he litain es horatius mehakol la'ashem yisborah. It is to give the first of all things to God. That's a concept of it. V'chein ha-tefilos, likewise, when it comes to davening, v'shinui hazmanim, as time changes over the course of the day, erev v'voker v'tzor, right, we have the evening, the morning, and the afternoon. So what we're trying to do is to take the first of that time period and dedicate it to God. Now, first doesn't necessarily mean chronologically. In other words, that you may have a translation of Bikurim, which could also mean the choice offering as well. But the Pshat level is that you dedicate the first part of the night, the first part of the morning, and the first part of the afternoon to Hashem. So the davening itself, in time, is like first fruits. It's like Bikurim. Ki hakol toli v'hareshis. All things are dependent on the beginning, the first. K'moshe kasuv zav, as the Chachamim wrote, Tov acharis davar, kishahu me'reshiso tov. Right, so it says, I think it's from Shlomo HaMelech, that the end of something is better than the beginning. And the way he learns that to mean is that only as an extension of the first, is the end good. If the first starts out well, I think is what he means, then the end will follow it. V'chein mereshis hashana, likewise we know at the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah is coming up. Nidon ma yihiyah v'sofa, it is judged that which will be at the end of the year. Rosh Hashanah is the judgment for the upcoming year at the reshis of the year. Eino davka v'Rosh Hashanah, this does not specifically and only happen on Rosh Hashanah. Rakol shinui v'dover chodesh. Anytime something new comes into the world, comes into play, nimshach hakol achar hareshis. The way that thing is begun sets the tone for it, and then the rest of that will follow. V'chol dover bereshis otzoret shmira. Therefore, everything at its beginning, at the outset, requires extra caution and extra protection. Because if you can set up the beginning in a way which is not only viable but productive and even holy, page 100, then the rest of it is more likely to follow in that path. So that's the concept here. The first fruits, Bikurim, the first in time is davening, the first of the year is Rosh Hashanah. And then he says, not only that, but anything that comes about, which is new, if you can be shomer, you can watch how it begins, that's a special way of trying to ensure that the following direction will also come out well.
So is there an Indian to daven mitzvah gedolah?
From this it would see that there would be an Indian to daven mitzvah gedolah. And you know, it's a long machlokas, you know, when you daven mincha at the very beginning of the day or if you daven mincha katana. It's a big machlokas amongst postmen. But there are those who definitely say that if you, that the way to daven is to daven mincha gedolah.
That means, gedolah means at the
early
end?
In the, early, early in the day. Right, early when the day is big.
45 minutes after chutzah.
So there are those who are careful to daven mincha gedolah and others specifically don't. It's a big halakha.
So it's a minority opinion that would say toward the end.
Actually, it's more prevalent to daven later mincha than it is to daven earlier. In terms of how the opinions fall out, I'm not sure who's minority or not.
Its prevalence is because it's an issue of convenience, or because
I believe so. Yeah, I believe so. Because then you can daven mincha marav together, tefila b'tzibur, which is also an important thing.
Among many Hasidim, I understand that saying mincha as late as possible is sometimes
also an approach like that. Right. My Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha, Rabbi Tversky, he used to daven mincha gedolah. He davened mincha early in the day. He davened alone. And he also wore tefillin when he davened mincha. Yeah. When he davened by himself, not if he davened in the minyan. But he put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. Either Rabbeinu Tam, where he had another pair called Shimush Rabbah, he wore 3-4 pairs of tefillin. He put on for mincha, I think Rabbeinu Tam's, he wore at mincha, when he davened by himself. And he davened early in the day, like the first possible time he would daven mincha.
And what about... Have you been away?
I've been away.
Or has I been away?
Hey, Dylan. Lauren, I was hoping you were going to stay away and give me your opening tickets. But it's nice to see you. Anyway.
You already saw this morning.
Got season tickets, huh?
I got season tickets.
Two tickets.
So, what page are you on? So anyway, in terms of mincha gedolah, it would be consistent with this approach that you take in the first part of the afternoon, like the crew.
But what about davening either mincha gedolah alone or with a, or later with a tzibur?
Well, I can't present it as a halachic, you know, from a halachic position here. We're talking about in terms of this concept in Hasidus here, that we have seemingly direction to daven mincha gedolah. But there's no question that if you look at what everybody does, everybody would take precedence at davening mincha b'tzibur with a minyan. It would be the exception, you know, to daven mincha b'yechidus in order to do mincha gedolah. That would be the exception.
And so he's trying to apply this back that by davening mincha early, it's the beginning of the time where that we should be guarding, because that sets the tone.
Sets the tone for that new period of time.
It seems to say he's setting the tone also, that the morning sets the tone for the afternoon. The afternoon is setting the time.
The morning for the morning, the afternoon for the afternoon.
Yeah, but if it's setting the tone for the day, then it seems that it's affecting everything else that's coming after it. If we're supposed to guard it, then it's affecting what the openings, you know, if it's also, if it's talking about openings are really important and as well as treacherous, you know, in a sense, then the morning, I'm not saying it's on guarding the morning, but it seems to also be touching into the afternoon. What happened in the morning affects the afternoon, and that the afternoon affects the evening, and the evening again.
Right. It would seem one would build on the other.
Build, you know.
Right. Okay. Kibbutz Tefilas Shabo hadover min hashoresh. El ha'adam omei lefesara. But at the beginning, when something comes from its source, so we're talking about something new in the world, at that very beginning, it stands in a state of lacking. When something is first delivered, you might say, to the world, there's a chesaron about it, there's some shortcoming.
Like a baby before it has a bris.
It's interesting that it says El Ha'adam.
Mm-hmm. To the human being.
Rather than, I mean, you wonder what it adds to the sentence. Because it has a different meaning than if you just said it. Mina shorish omed l'chasaron, that's something by its nature as a function.
He wants to say its delivery to the person.
To the person,
right. Yeah. From its spiritual source, when it's delivered to the person, there's a certain chasaron there. V'gam ki kol ha'makabal sorech shemira. It is also true that any time we receive something which is new, so we're kind of receiving something good, there's an additional shmira, an additional caution that we need when we get something, which is to guard us from arrogance. Because when we receive something, we could be overcome by a haughty spirit or an arrogant spirit. So at that moment, we also have to be careful. Therefore, anybody who has something of a rosh, right, the head of something, which is also like the beginning, needs to be carefully guarded. It's an interesting concept. V'ho'etza, ki kabolas malchuso yisporach lehistabek bo. What is the etza then? What is the advice that he's giving for shemira? At this critical point, when something new is in the world, and likewise when we are receiving something new, in order to guard it properly, to keep it in a good framework, he said it's accepting Ol Malchu Shemayim, accepting God's mastery and leadership over the world at that moment. L'histabekbo, to cling to God, u'lahachzirei lov hareshis, and to return it to God, l'zkor ki hakol shelo, in remembering that all things belong to God. So when somebody is the recipient of something new, the way to connect that and to guard it is its recognition that it came from Hashem, and that is in effect like returning it to Hashem, and that's also similar to the mitzvah of Bikurim. You have your first fruits, right? There's vulnerability there, they're the first, they're out there. Then we receive them. We're vulnerable because we're receiving a blessing and we may become arrogant as a result of it. So by accepting that all this comes from God and in that respect returning that to Hashem by acknowledging His mastery, that's the Shemira. L'chein miyad shabo la'oretz hoya ha-mitzvah bikurim. Therefore, immediately when they enter the land of Israel, the mitzvah of bikurim comes about. Right away, to make sure that as we're receiving something new, we will dedicate it back to God.
Then why did Moshe Rabbeinu institute this tefillah? Is the tefillah irrelevant in Eretz Yisrael, where there is, you know, where you're, huh?
No, we have to say that it's relevant in all places, even in Eretz Yisrael, where there is the Bikurim.
Because it's a little stretch. Here it is. He set this tefillah for something he foresaw in the future,
right?
When we're going to be in Galus. But here it is, he's still in Galus when he does it, and we just are entering Eretz Yisrael, and I'm not saying they're not relevant, but they're not relevant in the context of what we're just talking about.
There's some clarification I need. He didn't institute the tefillah. He instituted the context of a way of thinking about davening shacharis, that it should...
Well, you're giving an explanation. We saw the language of the Midrash is that he was misaken the tefillah. So you're trying to establish what does that mean, right? Because it's not consistent with some other things that we have learned. Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov made the tefillah.
Right.
So maybe what you're saying is that one way to look at that is establishing a new way of looking at the tefillah. That's how you're understanding it. So that's a possibility. That's a possibility.
But that we don't know that, but that's not for sure.
We don't know, because we don't know what this lashon really means, that he instituted those three tefillos.
Nope, nobody else commented what this
means. Well, we could look at some of the mepharshim on the Midrash Tanchuma, there are a few, and see if somebody, you know, gives an approach to that. But you're saying an approach, which is a possibility.
It's also,
it just doesn't
the
make
word tikkun has an ambiguity of established or fixing something.
Right.
So it could be understood on the
right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mechen bifrat. Likewise, he says specifically, b'chol davar, in all things, that this principle applies. The principle of Bikurim, as we've learned it. Shalzek Hasiv Bereshis Bara. We look to the very beginning of the Torah, which starts with this word, Bereshis. Pirshu Zal Bishvil Torah. Is that Bechala? Yeah, Bechala. Kol Dover Shenikra Reshis. Shazek Kiyum Ha'olam Hanam. So this expression, this word at the beginning of the Torah, Bereshis. The Chachamim learned this to mean Bishvil Reshis. For the purpose of Reshis, the world was created. Bishvil Reshis Bara. What is that? The Torah is called Reshis. The Jewish people are called Reshis. The mitzvah of Challah is called Reshis. In Parsha Shalach, Reshis. So anything where you have this Reshis, the dedication of the first to Hashem, on account of that, the world was created. That's a powerful statement. L'chein nismucha parshas Bikurim l'zachiras Amalek. And that's why the parsha of Bikurim, this week's parsha, comes right following last week's parsha, which ends with Amalek and the destruction of Amalek. Who is Amalek? The Hasiv Reshis Goyim Amalek. Amalek is the Reshis. They are the first of all nations in the realm of evil. And they're the opposing force to this Reshis and Kedusha that we're learning about. So after we've touched on Reshis Goyim Amalek, which is also a Reshis but in a negative context, we immediately go to Bikurim, which is Reshis in the positive context. Amalek did everything they could to take things away from God, actively, intentionally. Reshis is doing everything we can to direct things toward God, and hence their joy.
So then is this Bichurim, in any sense of the word that we're talking about, the concept, in a sense of tihun for Amalek,
that
seems
what,
to
I believe that's what he's
be
saying.
Following
but that's
right?
A way to battle Amalek. Any force in the world which fights God with all that it has, with its best. You know, so we oppose that force by dedicating our best to Hashem, our first fruits.
Yeah, and I'm taking it even further than fresh fruits, because he's taking it
all
beginnings,
right? As a concept.
Right, you know?
As a concept.
Okay.
It's a rizus also. When the mitzvah is at hand, you don't have to let it
to
go.
Do something quickly,
right.
You know, willingly, with motivation. Yeah, I think that's a good thought.
That's nice.
That was actually something that Amalek had.
Right, they were very conscientious about their work. Ade Oved, and also with respect to Amalek, it says, until they will be destroyed. Hinal, Shemeh Hareshis Omeid Lihios Oved, that Amalek's very beginning, which is a force in the world opposing God, from the very beginning it is headed toward destruction. So we've learned about things that from the beginning can be dedicated toward holiness. One can also be dedicated at the beginning toward destruction. Kamosha Pesuv, it's Neged Shemayim. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive us. Negad Shemay, Abad Shemay. Kishein Abatu Lishmo Yisporachu Lishvoda. When something is... I forgot the shot of the word Negad from Pirkei Avos. Does anybody remember that? No, it's an Aramaic word. I'm sorry, I can't remember what it means. His name will be lost out. But it could be, Hilly, that what he's saying, that's not the shot of the word, but it could be, pardon me, that the insight in the word might maybe come in from the word nega, that when something is not butl to Hashem's name, which does sound like it's being nega, and Hashem's glory, ala molek, that name is lost out. Shein shemol yisporach sholem ad sheyimcha shem ha-molek shemisnagen lishmol yisporach. As you said, what Hilly said is correct. In this Vasemis, that which opposes God's name, Neged Shemei, is Abed Shemei. That name will itself be destroyed, which is Amalek.
Abel B'nai Yisrael, I think the Pshat in Kirkiavos is one wants to glorify their name. Their name gets
lost. Glory?
I think something like that.
Okay. I don't remember where it is. I don't remember the parak. I don't know. Aval b'nei Yisrael yideishin nosnin horeishis la'ashem yisporach yesh lehem acharis kano. The Jewish people who have the opportunity to dedicate the first to God, that also means that we endure, which is called acharis, the final thing, the lasting thing. The Chazal darshu mereishi shana sharasha b'tchilasa hakol kamosha karsiv. The Chazal darshaned this from the beginning of the year. That means the source of the year. This is all that we had said. Ki al yidei ha'afno la'ashem yisporach yesh kiyum la'hareshi. The same concept. That by submitting or directing oneself to God, that guards and sustains this beginning. U'klal hadover kol ha'ora shemaviya busha v'hafno la'odam hu dover shok hayama. He says any type of light or revelation which brings humility to a human being, that thing will endure. So if we receive a gift from Hashem with humility and being mekabel that it comes from God, then that gives an enduring quality to that gift. Whereas if we receive it at the beginning with the sense of arrogance, then the path which we have set up is one more toward destruction as opposed to kiyum.
But if it's saying that, it can't just be the good things that are a gift. I guess a gift is anything. It's something that's given from Hashem. And so does that mean that things that we materialistically or it seems not good, you know, things that aren't necessarily giving us immediate benefit or simcha, also acknowledging that?
Well, we have to say that Gam Zulatova, everything Hashem does is for the good. That in all things that come our way, we acknowledge Hashem's, you know, hand in it somehow. But he's specifically talking about this area of receiving things that are good.
He is only talking about
good. Yeah, and I don't mean to say that we don't attach the other things.
No, I was asking you how he was, is he only talking, that's my question.
The context of this is the good that we receive. How to guard that, how to hold on to it, and how to send it in the right direction. And then that applies also to the renewal of time, each tefillah, shachris, mincha, and maariv. You capture the beginning of that period and send it in the right direction. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that a person can't change midstream, because the whole concept of teshuva is that if you're on a certain direction, you can change. But we have to consider that change involves having to really fight your own momentum, the momentum that we have established going on a certain path. If we discover it's a negative path, the decision to change is in itself important, but then we have to bring about, muster up strength to shift that momentum into a new direction. I think that's also why it's so much more possible of a change when a person can redirect their momentum as opposed to having to battle against everything you've done until that time. If you can redirect your energy, then that momentum works for you. If you have to oppose all that momentum, that becomes a very difficult battle. And I think that in terms of Rosh Hashanah, we have the concept of eating all those foods Rosh Hashanah night, you know, to make a siman, to make a sign, and we say Yehi Ratzon. That is this concept. We're trying to establish momentum into the year to send our eating and our Yom Tov into a certain direction. Spiritual momentum established on Rosh Hashanah.
All these new things that he's talking about, or talking about guarding, what do you think he means by new? I mean, there's not a whole lot that's new. Unless you say every, you know, time, every day, every, you know, before every tefillah is a new day. The type of new he's talking about is just beginning chakras. Is that something that's new?
Yeah.
Instead of us looking at it, we do chakras every day. It's just something we do, you know?
Like we say in chakras, Shemachadesh, Petuva, Mechalyon. Every day is new. It's hard to believe it sometimes in the early morning.
No, that's why I'm asking, because
that's a true tzaddik kumunasa. You have to believe it, but you should have faith in it.
It doesn't say in the first sermon in Shulchan Aruch that you should approach each day as a Bria Chadash, as a new creation, that you haven't said Shema ever before, you haven't done anything ever before.
A Bria Chadash.
I remember when I was growing up, I read in a book of Hasidic stories, a story of a father and son walking together. The son, father says to the son, close your eyes. And he closes his eyes and he said, did you see it? And the son doesn't know what he's talking about. He says, it has him do it a few times. And finally he says that God is always, it says, God is always renewing creation, so we should be able, when we close our eyes and open it, to see as if creation was created anew that second. I thought it's a beautiful story.
Let's take a look on page 108. Also on the right side. In the middle. The Midrash. Im shamoa tishma. If you shall surely listen. And that's from the pasuk. And the Midrash says, Ashrei Odom shomei ali. The praise of the person is when he listens to me, Hashem said. Sheshemu osav li. That his shemuos, it usually means tidings of him belong to me, etc. It doesn't quote the whole midrash there. And then it says, Dal so sai, my doors. And he quotes the Chazal from the Gemara, when a person davens, Al ta'amod v'pesach hachitzon lehispalo, delis lishmin mi delis. Don't stand at the outer door to daven, but rather a door within a door. Pretty cryptic phrasing here. Adonai Mor Yizal Amar B'Shem Arabi B'Shis Huzal. So the Rim says from the B'Shis, what are these two doorways that they're talking about? Shir Shnei Pesachim. It says that when a person davens, he shouldn't stand at the back of the shul, but he should go in the width of two doorways, the measure of two doorways inside the shul. That's the halacha. He's talking about a spiritual application. One doorway is a door which leads out of this world. The other is to go into the higher world. So there's a departure from this world, of just because one is departed doesn't mean you get into the next one necessarily right away. There's an entrance there. The second one, which is to get into the higher world, is a gift from God. Kenyan Shamru, as it is said by the Chachamim, Yogati Umatsasi Tami. If a person says that I toiled in Torah and I have found, meaning relationship with Hashem, Tami, you shall believe this person. Pirish Morizal, what does this mean? Delakaf Amru Umatsasi. One who says, I have toiled and I have found, lomar, shelo kefi hayigia b'koko lahasig zot. It's two separate statements, that it is not according directly to our own hard work that God lets us find this relationship. Rak b'sachar hayigia nosnim lo b'matzah. But rather, as a reward for effort, God gives us a gift which actually exceeds our effort. So if we say we made an effort and we got to a certain place in a relationship with Hashem, that place will be much beyond the efforts that we put into it. Where we arrive is further than our effort literally would take us to. So the first one is departing this world. Everything that we do, right, to work on ourselves, to in a certain extent be achieve a kind of mastery over the world, that's our job. Then taking us into the higher places, that's God's response. Ubir b'zeh hamidrash parshas Kisisa tichalosa l'daber. It says in parshas Kisisa, when Moshe finished stopping to Hashem, Sha'achar sheyoga Moshe Rabbeinu l'deshalom mem yom. After Moshe Rabbeinu worked very hard on the Torah for 40 days and 40 nights without sleeping, nitnu lo ha-Torah b'matana. God then gave him the Torah as a gift. So he needed all of that effort, which was superhuman. It's not humanly possible to go 40 days and 40 nights without sleeping and eating. And Moshe Rabbeinu did that. That was all of his effort. And his reward, meaning God gave him the Torah because of his efforts. Likewise, the 40 years of the Jewish people in the Midbar, in the wilderness, that they then merited a gift because of their 40 years of hard work, that's what it means that Hashem has not given you, apparently, the Torah until this day. Well, what do you mean? They received the Torah 40 years ago. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu saying here in this parsha, at the very end, that it really wasn't until now that they were getting the Torah? Mm-hmm. He says it's this idea, that the result of their 40 years of working on themselves, now Hashem has given them a response beyond even their efforts in the 40 years. V'zein in beis hashmuos mikodem, lishmo mitzvos Hashem kip. This is the two listenings that apply to mitzvahs. One is to simply, on a simple level, understand the mitzvah. What does the mitzvah mean? What is God asking of us? What are we supposed to do? That's the basic level of the mitzvah. Then afterwards, we merit to hear the inner meaning of the mitzvah. So first we may learn that, you know, a shofar has to be at least one tefach big, and this is what it has to sound like. So we know how to do the mitzvah. Then following that, we grasp the inner meaning. And those are the two doorways also. V'oz ashrei odom shomei ali daika shehi shemua habez delas shalifnim midelas. Now he's going back to the midrash he quoted at the beginning. Hashem says, praised is the person who listens to me. What does listening to me mean? It means the inner voice of the mitzvah. Not only the outer mitzvah, how to do it, but what is the message of the mitzvah. So praised is a person who grasps not only how to do the mitzvah, but the message within the message. And then it follows by this statement of don't stand outside by the outer doorway when you're davening. Go inside both doorways. The external mitzvah and the internal mitzvah. Go inside both. Ukamo kein kafi hayigia bimeha maisa bedelas hafitza. Likewise, according to our hard work during the week, which is the outer door, the work we do during the weekday, kach zochin b'shabbos kodesh l'matana. We then merit a gift on Shabbos Hanal Shoshar Hapnimi, which is the inner door. So the 6 days of the week represent our more external avoda. We're opening the outer door. On Shabbos, we step into the inner door, and the gift is the message, the closeness within the mitzvahs. Ki Tisiv B'Yom HaShabbos Yiftach, as it says, on the Shabbos day, Hashem will open up for you the storehouses. B'Nikra Matana Tova B'Beis Ginzi. And also we know Shabbos is called in the Gemara. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jewish people that I have a precious gift for them in my storage house. So this precious gift then refers to a response to our avoda which actually exceeds what we have done. And it opens up the inner gates of the mitzvah.
That'd be a great name for Jewish department store, Beis Ginzi.
We have to have two doors.
Yeah. Open, automatic opening doors.
What about revolving doors?
The first one you open up.
Right out,
the
right?
First one that you open up yourself, and the second one opens automatically.
You know, it's interesting, but there's. I wonder if this is related, but there is a lesson that a shul should have. You know, an entryway, and then you go into the shul.
Mm-hmm.
But the way where we were in the old shul was not really the chatzila, where you just walk right into the shul. There's supposed to be a corridor and then a shul, a lobby and then a shul. Right?
That's where it comes from?
Maybe. So I'm thinking maybe this concept here of the two doorways and not standing by the outer doorway, maybe this is, there's a makor for that in this midrash.